Places, please. Places for the top of Theater Countdown.
That's the magic of show tunes. Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome, madame, monsieur, fremder, étranger, stranger, glücklich zu sehen, je suis enchanté, happy to see you, bleibe resté, stay right here with us on a hot, fresh new episode of Theater Countdown. Wow, I guess my coffee worked.
Did you say glue sticks must say and something about Madonna?
I did.
There? It sounded like...
Absolutely. Glue sticks shall stay, just like Madonna.
I think they're both, that's what I thought you said.
I think they're both relics from the 80s that people think that they can throw away. But I want to present to you that both serve a function in our modern world. Glue sticks and Madonna.
They must stay.
Je suis enchanté. They must
stay. And you can find both of them at Office Max. So there you go.
Well, because Madonna's really just stapled together. So
that's so true.
At this stage of the game. I just saw her. Okay. Hi, I'm your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron.
Yeah, and I'm Michael Judson Berry.
Oh, my gosh. And you're listening to Theater Countdown because you have fine taste.
Yes.
In podcastery.
Also, I like that before this episode, we were like, we should keep the tangents to a minimum so we don't go too long. And before we even began, we went off on a tangent.
We can't help ourselves. We just, you know why? Because it's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
Real quick, socials, right? Where can you go about it? Find us? Yes. Go to @TheaterCountdown on Instagram and TikTok.
Let's role play. Let's pretend like I'm like improvising with you and I'm just like, you met me at the bus stop and I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Why.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have a smartphone?
A smartphone? Why, yes, I do. Would you like to use it?
No, because I don't like... I have
Wait,
one, too.
Yes, and.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I would love to take your phone from you. What are your socials?
Help, this man is robbing me.
This
he took my
so
phone.
Well. Yes, I'm robbing you, and... I'm holding your phone hostage, and I'm going to log into your Instagram and TikTok so you can follow this fabulous podcast, Theater Countdown, theater with an R-E, because we're super classy.
I'm Theater Count
on Twitter, also known as X. And I'm going to go to YouTube, and I'm going to subscribe to the Countdown Network so you can catch up with us everywhere. And I'm going to go to your podcast and subscribe there, too.
Wow. I'm really glad that you did all of this. I like you, sir. I hope that we can be friends forever.
Me too, right after the police arrest me
now
for stealing your phone.
Now give me back my phone, you monster.
Yes, sir.
So that's where you can find us on social media. Please do, because everything that we're going to do, we're going to let you know about on social media. Also, if you want to connect with us, that's us.
Yes.
And other theater-obsessed people just like you from all over the world, you got to join us on Patreon. And when you do, you get a bundle of goodies so vast, so good, so delicious, you won't ever stop enjoying them?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Yeah. That works. It's only $5 a month to join the Patreon.
That's cheap.
Yeah, that's, as we've said many times, that's basically a cup of coffee.
It's less than.
True.
It is. And with that $5 a month, you can do monthly virtual hangouts with the two of us and other fans. We're going to play some more games. We want to hear your top tens. We want to have it's just basically a big theater nerd party. You also get early access to all episodes. You're going to belong to a private Facebook group where you'll have direct access to us and input on what you'd like to see in the show. And we'll send you a welcome gift. $5? This is an embarrassment of riches.
Exactly. And then also, as you're listening to us, don't forget to rate and review. It always helps. And even if it's a bad review, like, we'll probably have fun with those too.
Didn't we say we would sing them on the air?
It's going to be Rate and Review the Musical. I can't wait. It's going to be at Green Room 42 at some point in time.
Rate and Review the Musical. Yes. Yeah. So do that, please, for us and with our thanks. Thank you so much.
Exactly. So real quick, how have you been since the last time I've seen you? Anything fun, new, or exciting? Any shows that you've seen?
I've not seen any shows because I've been away on the big gay cruise, which I like to do, and my other life is a gay cruise director. So I've been the show. Oh, well, I will say this. On the Big Gay Cruise, do you know what the show was on the cruise? It was Cats. This cruise performed Cats. They had Cats on the ship. And now, which is like gay Fantasia enough, but there's also these people in the gay community who they're called the Puppies. Are you familiar with this? And they dress up and they put on these like neoprene masks and they act like puppies. And I don't know why, but somebody hurt them in their childhood. And now it's like really fun to be a puppy. But they all came to see Cats and in their puppy masks, which I just thought was delicious. But I wanted really badly to take a photo of all these puppy people with the cast of Cats in their costumes and was turned down flat because of licensing issues. And Andrew Lloyd Webber, the really useful group, has such a chokehold on what you're able to do or present when it comes to his work that you can't even take a picture of a cast member in their cat costume.
No.
So missed opportunity there, but it was really good, actually. It was a quick
Mistopheles opportunity.
A Mistopheles opportunity. That Mistopheles was awfully good.
Oh, well, that's nice.
And it's a 90-minute version of the show, which I think...
Perfect.
Can you guess what was cut for the 90-minute version?
I don't even know. What was cut?
They do that whole Growl Tiger's Last Stand that's in the musical, and there's just these like long, drawn out, like fantasy sequences. Like the whole thing isn't a weird fantasy sequence.
I was gonna say
they cut the right whole show. They cut the right.
Okay.
Things. Anyway,
that does feel like a show that when you see it, you're like, this could have been 90 minutes.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah, some of the numbers with all the dancing cats, they do kind of run together.
Yeah, give me a strong Jellicle ball and move on to Gus.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I will say I'm not one of those people who hates on Cats. I saw the revival of Cats and the PBS version of Cats I had on VHS that I taped with Elaine Page.
Yeah.
That as a kid, I will say I loved. And then when I finally saw the revival on stage, I actually really enjoyed myself.
Oh, yeah.
So I am not here to poo-poo Cats.
No. They'll poo-poo themselves as long as they do it in the litter box.
Exactly.
I love Cat. I'm with you.
I had a fun thing this last week. So my boyfriend really likes musical theater. I've been taking him to see a lot of shows, but he's a real like sports gay. Like he's gotten me into football. Like I really care about the Super Bowl this year. I was screaming at the TV when Detroit lost. Like I've become a big football guy too. But my version is I get to take him to shows. And I took him, though, to Marie's Crisis for the first time, which, friends, if you know the sort of New York musical theater scene, Marie's Crisis is this very famous piano bar in the West Village. It's tiny. It's in a basement where you have a piano player and everyone just gathers around and sings show tunes. And they're very strict about it. Like, if you're there to just, like, chit-chat with your friends, like, you're probably going to get made fun of and ridiculed by the pianist. It's musical theater heaven. And he had a great time. At first, he was like, whoa, what's going on? And then they did the Les Mis medley, and he loves Les Mis, and he was there for it. All of a sudden, he was belting and doing that, like, rock back and forth choreography.
Yep.
He was waving his flag. It was a beautiful thing to behold.
Marie's Crisis is so much fun, and it's celebrities love it. So you'll always see, Jimmy Fallon showed up at Marie's Crisis last night and drunk as a skunk, belted out whatever. And, you know, Emma Stone.
Cynthia Erivo was there singing songs. Like,
yeah. Was she there the night you were there?
No, but I do remember, like, there was one time I was there and then a friend went the next day and he was like, oh, my God, she came the next day. And then she did, like, they let her do a couple solo numbers, which, again, no one gets solos unless you're a server.
Right.
Other than that, like, everyone's a star.
And
but,
it's not. Yeah. It's not like there's a mic and people go and like stand up at the mic and sing a song. You're like corralled together and you're just in this like heap of people all freaking out over the Chicago medley or whatever.
You're like at one of Liza Minnelli's famous KFC parties.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Apparently that was a thing when she lived in LA and she would have like people over and they would have like, I want to say it was Kentucky Fried Chicken for dinner. And then doors would open and there would be a piano and everyone had to come in and everyone had to sing. And like Donna Karen, Barbara Streisand, like all these like mega people used to go to Liza Minnelli's like sing-along parties where they would like eat fried chicken and sing songs.
Oh my God. Well, that's good though, because that grease is good for your cord. So I bet everybody sounded good.
Oh, great.
Yeah, just lubricate the cords with the chicken grease.
This fried chicken, it's fabulous. It's fantastic.
It's finger-licking good.
Have you heard of Colonel Sanders? Well,
well, let people know I was the original Colonel Sanders.
I did. Colonel Sanders, a musical. I said drum kickball change. drumstick ball change.
I understood what you meant. Do you like are you a drumstick person? Are you a thigh or are you a breast person?
Thighs. I'm a total like a drumstick. I'm a drumstick person. I think it's the easiest to eat.
Well, 100%. It's got a built-in handle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like a thigh.
Just like me, I have two built-in handles. You like Hey-o. A thigh?
I do. I like a thigh because I like dark meat, and there's something about the way that you approach a thigh with your mouth that...
Friends, if you could see the gesture that's happening with this.
Well, you're holding the thigh, you see, and then you kind of have to, like, figure out... I guess now that I'm doing it, it's kind of like trying to bite into an oyster, but I guess you don't do that, do you?
I hope not.
You don't bite it... Or have I been doing that wrong? I've chipped some teeth.
Do you eat the shell, too? That sounds like hell on
anyway,
the digestion.
I like a thigh.
Oh, man.
Now, let's talk about it. The elephant in the room. It's very sad news in all of theaterdom today as we, at 91 years old, we lost dead legend. Oh, God, this is coming out all wrong. Cheetah Rivera passed away. It went south pretty quick.
I think we just say the legend. We dropped
the legend, Cheetah Rivera, has passed away, 91 years old. And I feel like Cheetah Rivera was everywhere working all the time up to yesterday. I mean, she's there was never like a Cheetah Rivera is ill. There was never any sort of, she was always out looking fabulous, being totally current. But 91 years old, that's a hell of a run, Cheetah.
Yeah. And also, that just sounds so perfect for her. It's like as if she was working up right up until the end and then it was just done.
And I think last week was her birthday as well. Her 91st birthday was just last week. So
Cheetah. I mean, sort of like Betty White. She was and then all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That's why it took me so off guard. I was like, oh my God. And she was one that you just expected to live forever. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I just expected Cheetah to just always be around.
She just was so full of life. I mean, it wasn't even really all that long ago. Well, now it has been, I guess. And she did her solo show on Broadway. You know, so I guess she must have been 70-something at that point.
Yeah. Did you ever see her?
I met Cheetah Rivera. I've met her a couple times, but I met her at the Broadway Cares flea market. The flea market, and they have a celebrity table that Jim Caruso and I host. And so a lot of my, like, dream meet Broadway celebrities have been there. So I met her there and she was just very, very charming and very sweet. And I snapped a photo. But I've seen her do a million things. She's just, truly was everywhere all the time.
Yeah, I only got to see her once. And so I'm so glad I did. At least once was in Mystery of Edwin Drood.
Oh, yeah.
That was the only time I got to see her live. And I mean, even then she was no, you know, spring cheetah, but she was still kicking. She was doing the wackiest accent ever. Yeah. She was still magical as Princess Puffer. Yeah. And then I'm pretty sure she was the one also that was chosen as the murderer, which was great. Like, she was just one of those people where you knew you were looking at a legend.
Yeah.
You know, it was just sort of like to be in the same space with somebody like that was just like, sort of like took your breath away for a second when she first stepped on stage.
Well, now a lot of people are just posting all of this wonderful video footage from like way, way back when she was, you know, on all the old variety shows and just doing these like epic solo dance numbers. And of course, you know, West Side Story, original Anita. It's just so, so much. I mean,
yeah. Things that people, I think, forget that what a big deal it was that, like, she was on the Ed Sullivan show. And she did solo numbers on the Judy Garland show. And she did huge variety shows when, you know, women like her weren't being invited on shows like that. You know, when I think she really did break so many barriers in so many ways. Like, Bye Bye Birdie, they were an interracial couple.
Yeah.
And she got to perform her number on the Ed Sullivan show. Like, that's huge.
That is huge. Yeah. She's a trailblazer. Cheetah will live in our hearts forever. So take a moment and go listen to Kiss of the Spider Woman, everyone, and celebrate Cheetah.
Yes.
I was watching that clip of her winning the Tony for Spider-Woman, and she had that like super sexy black bob and the makeup, and she just, oh my God, she was sizzling hot. Mm-hmm. She's the one. And we lost on the same day, Hinton Battle, 3-time Tony Award winner, Hinton Battle, who was the original Scarecrow in The Wiz, and now The Wiz is coming back, which is interesting. And he won a Tony Award in the original Miss Saigon for playing John, and he won a Tony Award for The Tap Dance Kid, which is worth a YouTube rabbit hole, my friends, to see Hinton Battle in action, because the triple threatery of Hinton Battle is second only to Cheetah Rivera, frankly.
Uh-huh. I mean, how crazy that we lost two such similar performers on the same day.
Yeah. He was 67 years old, which I feel like is gone too soon. But I do have a Hinton Battle story, and because I was obsessed with Hinton Battle. And I had a show, a group of artists from a show. I was like an off-Broadway thing, performing at Broadway sessions, and Hinton Battle was the director. So he came to like support them, and he got up and he sang, Sophisticated Ladies. And afterwards, they had all left, and I was like finishing up, and it was the middle of the night, and I went up to 42nd Street, and I'm standing on the corner, and Hinton Battle comes around the corner again, and he looks at me and walks right up to me and he goes, "I've just been thinking about you some more." And I was like, "Well, I've been thinking about you every day of my life since I was born." And he was like, "I just, what you're doing is so great, and I just think you're so wonderful." And it was like, what do you do with that?
Wow. You just don't know. You just smile and nod and say thank
luckily
you.
Luckily, it was raining because I peed myself, and I don't think he noticed. So.
Oh, well, that's good.
Isn't that great? That's not true, everyone.
Okay. Oh.
But yeah, so I always had a very special place in my heart for Hinton Battle, besides the fact that he was one of the most talented human beings to have ever walked this earth. I think he was 15 or 16 years old when he originated the Scarecrow and the Wiz.
Young. Well, I read that he started training, who was it, with George Balanchine? Somebody massive when he was like 14 or 15.
Yeah, he was a big like ABT and Ailey guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like an incredible singer and Hinton as well. We love you, Hinton Battle. Mm-hmm. And this is great. I watched some Hinton Battle and some Cheetah Rivera YouTube clips, my friends. And it's wild.
Oh my God. Can I just say my favorite Cheetah clip ever is the one with Debbie Reynolds, where she performed at Carnegie Hall and she does the most frantic version of All That Jazz you've ever seen. And then she does America. But at the beginning, Debbie Reynolds, I think, was hosting like a Ladies of Broadway evening, and at the beginning of the clip, that's all there is of it, where it's her and Cheetah, and she's like, "All right, Cheetah, give it to him." And the music comes on, and Cheetah's like, "You want me to do it, this thing, this place, right now?" And Debbie's like, "Yes, give it to him." And then like Cheetah just runs on with these two little backup dancers and does America into All That Jazz, but does this insane dance off at the end of All That Jazz where they do it in like triple time, and she does a like pray for me moment and does the choreography again but in double time. It's nuts. Enjoy that one. Look up like Cheetah Rivera, Carnegie Hall, Debbie Reynolds. It's a great video.
Oh my God. Okay, done. I'm looking it up right now.
Okay, we have a game.
All right, let's play a game.
I want to play.
Well, you came to the right place if you want to play.
Oh, Chris. Hi Chris.
Hi,
your game master.
Game Master here, Chris. We have a new game, a brand new game. I think we're just going to call it Initially Identical. For this game, you'll have to guess the names of stage productions. I'll give you a clue, which also shares the same initials as the production in question. So we'll go back and forth. If you can't come up with the answer, we'll give the other person opportunity to answer. I'll give you a pretty easy one to start, just so we can kind of test the waters.
Okay. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand, but I like that.
I was going to say, I was like, I think I get what the rules are.
We'll start with Michael. So I'm going to give you this one.
Oh no, thank you.
Loud Succulent Obliterates Humans.
Oh, Little Shop.
There you go.
Of horror.
It's just like that.
Okay. Ooh, okay. Fun. Okay. I get it.
Okay. A loud succulent. Gotta watch out for that.
So, Ben, it's your turn. We'll give you this one. The Malefactor Minstrel.
Oh, it's the Music Man.
It sure is.
Oh, this is very clever, Chris, because not only is it the same initials, but it describes the program.
Yeah, it's the clue.
Yeah. Also, this is so Moira, the Malefactor Minstrel. Like, the loud succulent. Got to watch out for them.
So now let's do Michael. Hocus Pocus always trumps crafty cruelty.
Hocus Pocus trumps crafty cruelty.
Always trumps crafty cruelty.
It always trumps it. I want to say wicked just because I'm thinking of witches, but I don't think that's right because I don't think Galindo is particularly crafty.
Well, also the initials have to match and up. So all the initials in the words are the initials of the actual production name.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Did you miss that part?
I completely did. I was too busy giggling to myself as Moira Rose voice.
Say it again, Chris.
Hocus Pocus always trumps crafty cruelty.
Hocus Pocus always trumps
cruelty, Carolina change. No.
HP, Hocus Pocus, HP, A, A, C, C. HP, A, C, C.
Oh, there's a T in there after the. Yeah, always trumps crafty cruelty.
HP, A, T, C, C.
C, C.
Yeah. People are screaming at you right now from the
listening
devices.
I'm sure they are. And this is one of those, I would be screaming at me too, because if you're listening to this, you figured it out immediately.
Oh my gosh, I've got it.
What is it? What is it?
What do you think?
Harry Potter and the
Child.
That's right.
Yes.
Let's try this one. This one is a one word. It's just historical.
Oh, Hamilton?
That's right.
Oh, thank God. At least I got that.
Nailed it.
Woo! Could you imagine if I didn't get Harry Potter or Hamilton? I'd have to I'd have to quit the show. I'd have to go home and watch more football.
That's what's happened. The football's rotting your brain.
Yeah, I don't even call it footskipball anymore. I actually call it football. That's how you know.
Ben, this one's for you.
I'm so excited.
Boy travels to father.
Oh, well, he does that in Back to the Future.
He sure does.
Not a boy from Oz. That's where my brain went.
The boy from Oz. What if the boy from Oz traveled back in time?
Oh my God.
Peter Allen, time travel musical.
I want to see that. As long as it stars Hugh Jackman.
Uh-huh. He could go to Rio, but like in the olden days.
That's right.
Yeah. Olden Rio.
Michael, this one's back to you.
Okay.
Terrible premise. This one's a little tougher.
Terrible premise. TP. Mm-hmm. Well, there was Jurassic Park, which was off-Broadway, and that was also kind of a rough premise about people who turned into dinosaurs or something like that.
This production involves a terrible premise.
It involves a terrible
part of the storyline.
Oh, the producers.
It sure is.
Yes! Great show. Although, I don't know how it holds up. I haven't seen it since it was on originally, but I do love that movie.
Do you love the movie, like this, like the OG, like movie?
Oh, with Gene Wilder. Yeah, I just am a huge Mel Brooks fan.
Okay,
so yeah. I love all this. Anyway, next.
Benny, this one's for you. Parisian on the outskirts.
P O T O.
Parisian on the outskirts.
Oh.
You know it. Mm-hmm. Parisian on the outskirts. P O T O.
Parisian.
Pierre?
I'll give you a hint.
Huh. Bottom of the opera!
That's right.
Bottom of the opera! That's a good hint.
You're welcome.
Thank you
for
so
those
much.
Just listening, I literally just slapped half my face.
And it made all the difference.
It did. It was worth it.
Michael, back to you. This one is Jubilant Bunch.
Jubilant Bunch.
This one is a stretch, but I think it works still.
A jubilant bunch. Well, I can think of many jubilant bunches, but rarely do they sing. Mostly they show up at my door and I say, I don't want to purchase any of that, nor do I believe in it. let's see. JB. I'm just thinking of any musicals that start with J. Oh, you do?
I hear that jubilant bunches enjoy walking like men. Did I do it?
Oh, Jersey Boys.
Jersey Boys.
Oh, you'd think
right.
I would know that. I was in final callbacks for that show like 6 times.
Were you?
Yeah.
Bastards.
I know. It's fine. Here we are.
Ben, for you.
Yeah.
One word, criminals.
Cats. No.
Criminals.
Criminals with us. This could be a couple, actually, that's popping
criminals.
I'll take any right answer.
Cheats? Is that a show?
I don't know. Is it
Criminals?
Is that the one I was
Chicago?
Looking for
They're criminals in Chicago.
Chicago is correct.
It is. Oh, ooh, okay.
So my first thought was Carousel, and I was like, did he steal from people?
Well, he was pretty criminal,
I guess.
In general.
So we have one more. Whoever knows it, you can go ahead and just say it.
Oh my gosh.
Matriarch's mates.
Matriarch's mates.
Mother's M-M. Mother's melody.
Mother's melody. Mom. Matriarch's mates.
Mm-hmm. Mom's friends.
Close.
Oh, that's close?
Well, I mean, you're working your way there.
This is another one where people are probably yelling at their phones.
Maybe.
And we're just like in a silence.
Is this one a musicale or is this a play?
This is a musicale, yes.
A musicale.
This is heavily a musical.
Heavily a musical. And it's two and...
It was a film as well.
It's an Eminem. Mm-hmm. Matriarch's mates.
It's about a mother's different mates.
About the mother's different mates.
My mom's a slut, the musical?
That might have been the... That might have been the working title, but it's not quite what we're looking for.
And it was a movie?
It was a movie as well.
Minnie's Boys? That's the musical about the mother of the Marx Brothers.
I'm just thinking of M musicals now.
Magical Mr. Mistopheles.
Meryl Streep.
Meryl's. Oh, it's Meryl.
Mamma Mia!
Mamma Mia!
You did it.
Oh, it is all about mom's mates.
This is where we're almost too big of nerds because we're thinking of like, I feel like we both are trying to think of like obscure shows as opposed to going to like Harry Potter, Phantom of the Opera, Mamma Mia, like the popular ones.
I thought it was maybe a tribute to Cheetah Rivera and it was Merlin.
Merlin. I forgot about that musical.
That's it. That was initially identical.
That's a good game.
That was a good game.
Yay.
Hit us up on social media and tell us how many you got and how stupid we are for not getting them as fast as you did.
Yes, that's right.
We need to hear you. Let your voice be heard. All right. This countdown is wild.
Yes. This week. This was a hard one.
We're just going for it. We're going full blown top 10 musicals.
But this is a good way to continue to get to know each other.
Absolutely.
Right? Because I feel like this does say a lot about us, that, you know, which ones we narrowed it down to.
It does. And it forces me, and I wonder if you too, it forces me to grapple with some hard truths about myself. If I'm trying to be really honest about what's in my top 10, because how often do you get this question? What's your favorite musical? I ask people all the time.
Oh, I get favorite musical all the time. And I know what my go-to one is.
Yeah.
But then I sat down with it and I was like, is this my favorite musical? And also, what would make me, like, personal connection versus is this what I think is just legitimately a great show? Because I've seen some shows where I'm like, objectively, that's a brilliant musical, but I personally didn't enjoy it. You know? Or like, this one was not a perfect show, but I have such a strong personal connection to it that has a special place in my heart.
I have some that I think are really brilliant musicals that I have enjoyed a lot, but there have been major productions, even on Broadway, of some of these shows that I did not enjoy at all.
Yeah.
And yet I think the musical is a masterpiece.
Yeah, or even like Fiddler on the Roof, I objectively know that that is a brilliant piece of theater that sort of helped change the course of theater. Yeah. I had to do a production of it at a summer, like a regional theater over a summer in a theater that had no air conditioning.
Yeah.
And I played Nahum the Beggar. And it was right after they did that big revival where Nahum was like this weird, like ghostly character. So I was on stage the entire show, boiling. And if I had to hear Anatevka one more time, so I now can't stand that musical because I did that production.
Well, great. Then I think we should start. I'll go first. My number 10 top musical is Fiddler on the Roof.
No!
It absolutely is Fiddler on the Roof. And that's weird because that's exactly the musical that I was talking about that I recently saw. The last production I saw of it, I did not enjoy. But I think I love the score to Fiddler on the Roof. There's incredible room for dance. You know, the last revival that happened at the Broadway Theater, which is the one I did not enjoy because it all just was so slow.
Was that the Harvey Fierstein one?
No, it was the, and I hate to say this because I love Danny Burstein.
Oh,
was
that
Danny
one. Burstein.
And I just, like, he started it in like a red puffer coat, like in modern day times. And then it was just, it was the tempos of everything and the flow of the scenes was so slow. And it's way too big and long a musical to do slowly. I was like, what's happening? Like Matchmaker was like, Matchmaker, it's a dirge. But I love Fiddler because I love the score. The dancing can be spectacular in Fiddler. You know, wall of sound kind of music in here. And, you know, Far From the Home I Love is a beautiful song, but it's kind of dark, but it's also very playful. And it sits with me because I think it was one of the first musicals I sat through, like in a college, like a high school auditorium when I was very little. And I remember being very frightened by Fru Macera. I thought she was
terrifying.
Very spooky and
so scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, oh, golly, what's happening? But it was a singular moment that even before I started doing theater, I must have been like somewhere between 5 and 7 years old, and seeing it and being like really taken with it. So it planted a seed within me. Now, listen, I don't know that I'm going to sit down and watch 3.5 hours of the Fiddler on the Roof movie necessarily, unless we're really having a theme night and there's enough popcorn to last the duration. But I have seen productions of Fiddler that have been sensational, and I do think it was a game changer. For sure. When did Fiddler come out?
It must have been my production of Fiddler.
It was. Fiddler was in 1964 and was such a huge hit. Fiddler at the time, and it held this, these are fun facts, it held this distinction for a while. It was the first Broadway show to ever surpass 3,000 performances.
Wow.
In the beginning. And it held that title for 10 years before another show reached 3,000 performances. So I just think it's like uniquely the DNA of what a Broadway musical is and should be. And I like that it kind of covers a lot of ground as far as being really dark and also being really joyful and very funny.
Mm-hmm. And it does have everything. It has like huge dance number. Like L'Chaim is such a great number.
It's so great. It's so great. But a bad production of Fiddler
can
mess you up. So
or being in a rough. Actually, I think the production I was in was actually good. It was just like 3 months. Anyway,
well, let's listen to. I like this clip. Let's just to give you like a little thrill of how Fiddler kind of starts off. This is from the Tony Awards, and this is the Alfred Molina version from the Tony Awards. And we're just gonna listen to the very end of the Tradition because it's just like wall of sound, like blasting. Yeah, come on. Come on. It can be thrilling. I love that you hate it. I love that I love it. I love that it can be very bad or very good. Fiddler on the Roof is my number 10 top musical of all time.
That's again, like I said, I
don't own your feeling.
It was just the experience. Although that just brought back, did you ever see clips of when they did it? I don't remember where it was, an Asian production, and it's Shishai, and they do the most amazing version of Tradition you've ever seen.
No.
It's so in sync. It's so sharp. It's at a dress rehearsal and it's massive. It looks like the Rockettes doing it. Like they're so precise, but it's I just remember Shishai. Like it's great. Anyway,
Shishai.
Mm-hmm. But it's so tight, that choreography. Anyway, also I do love when Forbidden Broadway made fun of that revival.
Oh,
of
yeah,
Fiddler.
What was theirs?
And that was one of the best Forbidden Broadway sequences I think they've ever done.
What were the lyrics on that?
They did Matchmaker, but it was Cashmaker. They did a bunch of them. They did. It was when Harvey Fierstein was in it, and he did. And this is so mean, but so funny. When it was like, "If I were a straight man."
Wait, that was a really good Harvey.
Thank you.
That goes back to when I was auditioning for Beetlejuice and I had to learn how to do the voice, and now it's a party trick.
Sound like I'm going to burp.
But anyway, that was a fun, if you like Forbidden Broadway. So nice. Now my 10th of the top 10, is sort of in keeping with that vein of like classic musical theater. This is I want to look up the year it first opened. It's Men of La Mancha.
Oh.
Is mine. I love Men of La Mancha. I think it is such a beautiful show. I think all of the music in it is so gorgeous. Again, sort of like Fiddler, I love that it's kind of dark. Mm. It has its dark moments. Like, mm. Aldonza, like, she... really horrible things happen to her. And that song that's so creepy, Little Bird, Little Bird, where all the men are descending to essentially gang rape her.
Yeah.
But I love the character of Don Quixote. I love the character of his sidekick, Sancho Panza. Like, it's just such a, I don't know. I think that's another one that like checks all the boxes as far as just like the story and the music just always get me. And I think because it's my mom's favorite musical too. So I grew up listening to Dulcinea. It's, I think, her favorite show tune of all time. And so also when I think of Men of La Mancha and I think of that song Dulcinea, I can just see my mom smiling. And that just makes me happy, you know, because like that's one of those songs I think when she's sad, like she'll put that on. So I've seen some, again, also like a rough production of Men of La Mancha is rough, but yet I still love it. So that's my top 10 because I just love Men of La Mancha so much.
I see you. I support you. Men of La Mancha was my high school musical.
Oh, who did you play?
It was Don Quixote in the Mountain View High School production of Men of La Mancha. And I was a junior, Scandal. And the yearbook had a two-page layout about it, and the title of the two-page layout, and I always thought this was fun, was Ben of La Mancha. But I love that show. I'm glad that you love that show. The score is sensational, and I think there's a reason the story of Don Quixote is so integral to kind of the history and DNA of Spain. It's kind of like the most famous story of them all from that part of the world, and I think it's the stuff of legend because everyone can relate to that idea of hope at all costs, you know. And I mean, it's such a universal message, you know, to dream the impossible dream. My God.
And I love the way it ends where they're like, they cure him, quote unquote, of his madness. But then they're like, isn't this cruel? Like, is the cure not worse than the sickness? And then at the end, when she comes in and they let him laugh his last moment where they're like, no, you were, believe, I am her. When she comes back and she wants to be more than, you know, who she is, like this tavern woman, she wants to be, feel like a princess. And she's like, give me that feeling back, take me back. And it's her pleading to him always makes me tear up when she's like, no, make me beautiful again, basically. And when he gets that last moment of impossible dream before he dies at the very end, I think it's just such a gorgeous... and then what he inspired in all of them to reach for the unreachable star. Anyway, I just think it's the cheesy, schmaltzy part of me just is so touched by that. So that's my 10th. I love Man of La Mancha.
Heaven. Are we going to listen to some?
Oh, let's do... speaking of Tony Awards, the Tony performance with... Brian Stokes Mitchell. And when he sing, I think he did such a beautiful job with that. No, you know what's a better clip is the Linda Etter singing Men of La Mancha. And she does that incredibly unnecessary but amazing. Let's listen to Linda Etter do a little Men of La Mancha, a little I Am I Don Quixote.
Let's gay this up.
Oh, in that pantsuit.
Oh, yeah, at Carnegie Hall.
Hear me now, oh, that bleak and unbearable world. Thou art base and debauched as can be. And the knight with his banner all bravely unfurled now hurls down his gauntlet to thee. Oh,
so good.
My two things. My a girl who's a roommate of mine once, at her wedding, that was the song that she wanted played as she walked back down the aisle after they'd done the I do. So they had the kiss. They're like, now pronounce you man and wife. And, you know, the bride and groom or whoever walked down the aisle again and everybody again stands up and cheers. She played that song, Linda Edder's Man of La Mancha.
That's she just amazing. Like it was
the most triumphant thing she'd ever heard.
It really is, though.
Quite frankly, tell me the lie.
That whole thing, it's right up there with Mel Gibson doing that Braveheart speech on a horse as far as like inspiring. Like, I bet she could have done the same thing in front of troops and it would have been just as effective.
Absolutely. She wouldn't know what she was doing there. They wouldn't know who she is.
but
they would have fought like hell.
They would have.
I love that. They're very inspiring. Oh my gosh. Also, if you have Impossible Dreamland, there's a clip from The Voice in the UK and Tom Jones and Jennifer Hudson, like just kind of impromptu start singing The Impossible Dream. Yes. And like it seems like maybe the cameras weren't rolling for the actual show, but the audience is in on it and it's wild. They're just singing. She like climbs out of her weird chair and goes to stand center stage and belts the crap out of it. And Tom Jones sings along and it's wild.
Oh, it's so
So many ways to enjoy the impossible dream. All right, number nine. Okay, so once again, just for everybody who can relate to this, I feel like I've been drawn and quartered by this category. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a Sophie's choice. I feel like I'm going to change my mind tomorrow. I feel like I've been ripped limb from limb. My heart has been taken out of my chest and stomped on the floor by having to make these choices. I'm a husk of a man.
It should have been your top 50, not top 10.
Then we could have. That's it. That's a different episode.
Yeah.
All right. So that's on Patreon. So my number nine is going to be, drum roll, please. I'm going to put Phantom of the Opera at number nine.
Oh.
I think Phantom of the Opera.
I didn't expect that.
You didn't?
No, I don't know why. Anyway.
Did you think it would come later? Did you think it would be there at all?
No, I thought it was going to be more like top five. I don't know why.
Here's the deal. Phantom is, there's just, what am I supposed to do? I'm just a man. Phantom made, like, lit the fire for the mega musical, the British import mega musicals with these huge crazy sets and ambiance and luscious scores. And once again, it's very dark. But what a great subject matter to be musicalized. And I grew up on it. I was obsessed with it. I had the t-shirt. I went to LA to see Robert Guillaume perform it on a vacation with my family. And we ran out of gas driving through the Nevada desert on our way to LA to see the show. And
what?
Then our foreign exchange student had peanut sauce at the restaurant before the show. And he was allergic to peanuts and it was drama, drama, llama. But all worth it to get to Phantom of the Opera. I love the show. I saw it not too long ago, Ben Crawford. A couple years back, I went to see the show, and it was just in fabulous shape. And it made musicals sexy, right? It just like immersed you in this world of otherness. It was just so kind of ethereal. I think the score is amazing, and I effing love it. Is all there is to it. Nice. And how many times have I dressed up as the Phantom? I did, I'll have to tell the story at some point where I dressed up when I was running for student council in eighth grade.
Not where I thought that story was
going. Yeah, no, this is how this story goes. In eighth grade, I decided I was a very unpopular kid, or maybe I was popular in the wrong way because I had done a musical in seventh grade where I wore a mint green unitard in front of my seventh grade class. So I was not popular, but very visible. And for some reason, when they were having the student council elections, I decided to run for publicity chairman. Anyway, we had to do this whole thing, like put up a poster, and I made it past the primary. So it was just between me and Vern Stratton. And we had to do a big assembly election speech, like for the entire class so they could make their final vote. And I decided that the thing I had in common with every other kid in eighth grade in Orem, Utah, was that we were all must have been obsessed with Phantom of the Opera. So instead of doing a speech, I made a whole theatrical presentation of vote Ben Camera for publicity. And I came swooping onto the stage in my Phantom cape and my mask. And rather than give a speech about like, well, we'll get more vending machines, this was my plan. I was going to walk to the microphone and was playing da, 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 da. Here I'm swooping, swirling, swirling, swirling. And I go to the microphone and I say simply, vote Ben Cameron for publicity. And then it was supposed to be queued up to play, you will curse the day you did not do all that the Phantom asked of you, which is really clever, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm the Phantom and I said that. And then they put the wrong side of the tape on. And so I said, vote Ben Cameron for publicity. And it played, ha, 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 ha. It played Sarah Brightman trilling up into the rafters. And I was supposed to rip off my mask triumphantly and sit back down and then just win. And I didn't win. And I just kind of sank back in my cape and kept the mask on for the rest of the election assembly.
Which musical did Vern enter with?
Yeah, no, we'd be surprised. Vern just gave a speech.
Oh,
yeah. Vern
lame.
Won. Yeah.
Lame.
Now, listen, I think the whoever the teacher was that was like in charge of all of this thought I was very clever and she was right, but wrong audience. So right. Phantom of the Opera for me forever and ever. I don't know why it's coming in at number 9, but it is.
It's hard to say.
It's really hard to say, but it's wonderful to hear. So let's hear a little Phantom of the Opera right now. Why not? Let's listen to a little title track. Iconic.
It's so 80s.
I love that. Because it had the synth and the electric guitar, and then it also had the big orchestral stuff. Yeah, I honestly, the emotional recall that I have listening to anything from Phantom of the Opera, it was such a huge part of my life growing up. I was so obsessed with it that it really takes me back and puts me into a very specific place and time and feeling. And most of them, despite the election outcome, are very positive. It's just a masterpiece, I think. I love Phantom of the Opera. So there, number 9. What's coming down the pike then?
So mine is actually very similar. Okay. It's another one that I was introduced to when I was young that had a profound impact that I wore out the 2 CDs. It's Rent.
Ah.
I loved Rent. I saw Rent for the first time when I was 10 in Ireland. Whoa. I saw it in Dublin with my family. My mom, we were in Dublin on vacation, and my mom was like, the Irish production of Rent was on. Rent was still on Broadway, but my mom was like, oh, I heard this show is really good. Let's go see it. And so we saw it there for the first time, and it blew, like, my sister, my dad, me, we all were like, whoa.
Did you know what was going on?
Amazing.
At
Not
10 years old?
Really. Yeah. But I knew that I enjoyed it. So the next day I went, we passed a music store. And so I bought the CDs and it was 2 CDs. And I had a CD player and I immediately started listening to it. By the time we got home from Ireland, I had memorized the whole show. I loved Rent. And then like, it was early to, and so like, as, you know, friends discovered and stuff, it became that show, like every theater kid of a certain time, just like knew Rent. It was like our unifying thing. And everyone had those CDs. We all knew who we wanted to be. It was just, I don't know. And then I finally saw.
When you guys were casting yourselves.
What?
Who were you?
Oh, Mark.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait. I had the sweater.
Mark.
I'm
Mark.
I'm Mark. Yeah, I loved it. And that was, I felt cool because I was never cool because I was that theater kid who liked old musicals. So I had like the Hello Dolly soundtrack with Carol Channing. I had Gypsy with Ethel Merman. I was obsessed with Funny Girl with Barbra Streisand. Like, finally, too, I was, like, on trend with, like, the cool new musical, which was very exciting. Every year we tried to get our school to do Rent. Every year they said no because we're a Catholic school and high schools can't do this show. So, yeah, I think it was just such such a formative moment where it was just such a unifying show for so many, especially kids, that like got people who weren't normally into theater excited about theater because it sounded like cool rock songs. So So that's
that. Not only
is.
That, it was a cultural moment. It was a phenomenon.
Yeah.
I mean, so. it was the most famous thing happening in theater in 10 years.
Yeah. So, and to be like a theater kid during that moment, it was just very, very exciting. And you knew it was a generational thing. Like when I got to college and then you started to meet younger kids who Wicked was that show for them. And you were just like, ugh, kids. Like I'm one of the Rent heads. And we were Rent heads. Like before there were Swifties, they were Rent heads. You know, and then it shifted to Wicked,
today.
But I was just too old for Wicked. So it was too cool. Cause I was like one of the Rent head kids. Like it was, yeah, it was fun. But I, that's where
Who's too old for Wicked?
Yeah.
I'll tell you who's too old for Wicked.
But yeah, so that's why Rent is there. We'll always have a special place in my heart because of those years.
Let's hear some. What do you got?
I think La Vie Boheme. Oh, and they played La Vie Boheme at Maurice Crisis the other night, and I'm so proud that I still knew all the words.
I believe you.
I think we got to do some La Vie Boheme.
Yeah.
We're close.
Brothers!
Bisexuals, trisexuals, homo sapiens, carcinogens, hallucinogens, men, hermit, German, white, turpentine, Gertrude Stein, Antonio.
Okay, what's your number?
Number eight. This list continues to rip my soul apart, and I'm changing things on the fly, and I just hate what this is doing to me. But for number eight, I am gonna go with Hello Dolly.
Yay!
I think Hello Dolly is the feel-good musical of the ages. I've seen Hello Dolly a lot. In various, I've even seen Carol Channing play Dolly when she was still, when I was in high school, she was still touring that. And she, you know, the legend that she never missed a performance and she wanted to know when she had corn and all of that good stuff. But it's, I saw Donna Murphy, didn't see Bette, saw Donna Murphy out of, I saw Carolee Carmello.
Ooh, good one.
Out of town, and Carol Channing, of course, and a million other productions that I saw, like in Germany, I saw a production. And I really love the film with Barbara Streisand. I think, and we've done a countdown about this in a previous season, that I just think it's one of the best movie musicals ever made. Every time I see it, there's something about the music and the setting and the language and the humor of it that transports me into this incredibly charming place. I want to know what that is, to like go to Harmonia Gardens and there's a staircase and it's vast and you're eating chickens and then you're all of a sudden the dumpling thing in the courtroom and, you know, it only takes a moment and So Long, Dearie, and it's Jerry Herman at his best. And it's just delightful in every way. It ticks all the boxes that I've never seen it and not just been like, oh, I just loved it. You know, and I think I always will. It's so classic, and I'm gonna out myself a little bit here. I think it does for me in the like classic musical theater realm what Gypsy does for a lot of people, but does not do for me. In that I just think it checks all the boxes. The songs are glorious, I think. The sentiment is so charming. The setting, the style of it is all just, the Americana of it all is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Hello Dolly.
Yeah.
Is there.
I'm with you. I love the movie because I love Barbara Streisand. Yeah. And I know I said Baba Streisand. Barbara Streisand.
Papa Streisand.
Oh yeah, Papa Streisand, Mama Streisand. But the first production I ever saw on stage was that big Hello Dolly revival that we just had. But I saw Donna Murphy first.
Mm-hmm.
Thought she was incredible.
She was.
Her Before the Parade Passes By got a little Fosca, but Fosca creeps into every performance she does, which is why we love her.
And it should.
And it should.
Yeah.
I love Donna Murphy. I'd watch her read the phone book. So I thought her Dolly Levi was amazing. And then I saw Bernadette. I went back and said, also, I will say with that production too, I was like, this is a perfect musical. And that was a perfect production of a perfect musical. I was like, mm-hmm. It's basically a series of comedy sketches with amazing, and there's not a single dud in that score. Each song is perfection. And each comedy sketch is perfect. And yet you also care about those people. And I don't know how the book, I don't know how they achieved that. Because that could easily be just like a series of sketches, but yet they're real. And yet you root for them.
I've never heard it described that way. And that really slaps.
It feels like you're watching an old vaudeville show. Yeah. But like, yet there's a through line. And that production too, that the costumes, the sets, the choreography, everything was such a throwback. I felt like I was transported back to 1964.
Sure.
And, or 65, when did it open originally? 64,
Dolly was in 60, I have this somewhere.
64, right? Yeah,
1964.
So, yeah, and I mean, Eileen Brennan, can we also shout out Eileen Brennan was in the, Mrs. Peacock from Clue was the original Irene.
That's delicious.
Yeah.
As delicious as the soup.
Yeah. But anyway, so then I saw I saw Donna and then I saw Bette. And Bette was just a masterclass in comedy. And I feel like seeing Bette Midler in that show was what that show was intended to be, which was every woman who plays Dolly is just playing herself. In an amazing show built for her. Bette was a masterclass in comedy, but then I saw Bernadette. And she was the perfect blend between Donna and Bette. Mm. Like, Bernadette got the assignment where she came out and did all of her little, like, ooh, like, Bernadette-isms.
Yeah.
But yet, like, got a tear down during Parade Passes By. Like, how Donna, like, all the emotions. Like, Bernadette was so good. That was one of those performances that will forever be imprinted in my brain.
And you know what? Bernadette's not afraid to go in and replace you in a musical if it's a role she wants to play. Like, and, Little Night Music, Hello Dolly. She's like, yeah, you're going to put my name above the title no matter what. I haven't done that one yet. I want to do it.
Yeah. And she was just so good. And she had a flub in the first song. And the way she carried it off was just so good. You know, you got to love when an actor messes up and then they carry it off, you know?
Do you know what else I love? I love the, like, the star entrance for Dolly. Like, it's just, it's just so sweet and stupid and simple. It's just, people are going everywhere and it's busy, bustling New York City. And the trolley comes down and they leave it too. And she just drops the newspaper. She's been there the whole time. Says her own name.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like.
Dolly Levi.
Yeah. Oh, delightful. But you know what? Let's listen to a little of, Carol Channing.
Yeah. Oh.
Let's listen to Carol Channing do a little of Hello Dolly.
Hello, Harry. Well, hello, Louie. It's so nice to be back home where I belong. You're looking swell, Manny, I can tell. Danny, you're still glowing, you're still crowing, you're still going strong. I feel the room swaying for the band's playing one of my old favorite songs from way back when. So, bridge that gap.
Hello Dolly is happiness. If happiness was a musical, it's Hello Dolly.
1,000%.
And how much do you think Carol Channing wanted to kill Barbara Streisand?
Oh, I love that. This is actually going to tie into my next one of how, like, back in the day when you had these mega musicals, because Dolly was like a proper, like, blockbuster musical, right? And broke the Tony Award record with 10 Tony Awards, like mega smash. And then 25-year-old Barbara Streisand gets the movie role. And then Carol did a national tour of it when the movie was released.
Of course she did.
And I love that she did that just to remind America. And that was back when everybody would have gone to see it.
Sure.
So, like, just to remind America of who Dolly really was.
Yeah.
Which, like, good for you, Carol Channing. And this takes me to my next one, because the next leading lady did the exact same thing, which was Ethel Merman and Gypsy.
Okay.
Gypsy is my number 8. Gypsy to me is sort of like a Dolly in my brain is another, like, perfect show. That book is, I think, next to My Fair Lady, one of the best books. Oh, how is My Fair Lady not on my list? Anyway, I know. I can't believe it. So, again, I don't know. You're right. Creating this list was so hard. But I think Gypsy is one of the best books ever written for a musical. I think you could almost take all those songs out and it's still a great play. And Mama Rose has become such an iconic role to where, like, we just want revivals of that show because we want to see ladies play it. Like how now they're saying Audra McDonald is going to do it. And it's like, I will go see it because I want to see her version of it. So anyway, all that, when the movie came out and Ethel Merman didn't get the movie, she took the show on the road when Rosalind Russell got the film version. And Ethel Merman was like, fuck this. And she took the show on the road. But yeah, I love Gypsy. I think because there's something about just that role of Mama Rose. I think it's sort of like King Lear of musical theater.
100%.
So that's why this is on there for me, because like I saw, I almost said Tilda Swinton, but I saw the London revival. And
Imelda Staunton.
Imelda Staunton. Tilda Swinton.
Oh my God. Tilda Swinton as Mama Rose.
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
But Imelda Staunton's Mama Rose was terrifying. Like, you thought she was going to murder Louise at the end of Everything's Coming Up Roses. It was maniacal and dangerous. And then she played her like she was a really broken, someone who broke when they were a child, because she would go into this child voice, this little girl voice, when she felt threatened. And it was so creepy. But that's what I mean. It's the fun thing with that role. Or you can be Patti LuPone and you can just like belt down the house. Or you can be Bernadette in that Tony performance of Rose's Last Turn, where she's just fighting through it and she just stands there and angrily points. Like,
one of the best Tony performances ever.
First grade Michael, and this is another reason it has a special place in my heart. When I was in first grade, Bette Midler did the TV version. And my mom was like, I just done Oliver. I had done The King and I. And I was like, I love musicals. I want to be in musical theater. And they were doing Gypsy. And my mom was like, you need to watch this. This is one of the greats. And it's Bette Midler, who's phenomenal. And we taped it. And I wore that VHS out. I was obsessed with it. I knew every word of Rose's Turn. It was one of those shows that made me want to get up on stage. So, and Bette Midler was just also incredible in that role.
Oh yeah.
So
it's gotta be the most coveted role for female actresses in history.
But even beyond
Over Evita.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over Elphaba. I think this is the one that everybody wants to, at some point in their life, put their stamp on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And another one too, I think, like Dolly, like I wouldn't change a word or a lyric or anything in that show. It's pretty much like a perfect one.
I think you do very often hear people say that Gypsy is, there's a couple of them, but the people will refer to as a perfect musical, both in the way it's crafted, in the way that it's built, that the engine of it is just perfect. It doesn't get better than that. Was it Patty? I saw Patty.
Okay.
Was that with Laura Benanti?
Yes.
Yeah. And
Laura Benanti in that.
She was exquisite. She was unbelievable. I remember being blown away by her. Gypsy doesn't do for me what it does for other people.
Okay.
Except for Rose's Turn.
I think you can't help with Rose's Turn. It's just
And I don't know if it's because song. I don't know if it's because I became familiar with so many of the songs Coming Up Roses, and some people I heard out of context and was made aware that these were really big songs in the musical theater world, but I heard them kind of in showy, like Liza does some people. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, where out of context, it just sounds like, I'm going to get crucified for this. It sounds like rinky dink show tunery to me a little bit.
Oh, no.
I know. Come on. You've got opinions. So do I.
Not fair.
So I think that if I maybe had seen the show earlier in my life, I would feel differently. But it doesn't do for me what it does for, I think, everybody else I know in theater.
Gotcha. Fair. I mean, well, that's the joy of theater, isn't it? I mean, same with like Me and Fiddler, where you just bring to it what you bring to it.
Absolutely. And no, we can disagree.
Oh, yeah.
And I, oh yeah.
I don't know why that became mildly sultry.
It did.
I think also with the Patti LuPone Gypsy with Laura Benanti, that was a reminder where this show really is about Louise. And I think a lot of people forget that until Laura Benanti, her performance was one of those where it brought it back where you're like, this is actually, there's a reason it's called Gypsy and not Rose.
Right.
This show is really about the daughter's story. And I think Laura Benanti was one of those actors who really saw that and brought it back and gave, like, really sort of reminded us all of that. So I think her performance...
I totally agree. That was the thing that I was most captivated by in that show.
But yeah, wait, let's do a little bit of... why don't we do a little Rose's turn? But which... I'm trying to think of which one even to go with.
Bernadette's is my favorite.
Yeah, of that Tony performance. Let's do a little bit of
complete psychotic meltdown.
Yeah.
That is Bernadette Peters.
Oh, and the lighting, that harsh lighting. Ugh, so good. Let's do a little Bernadette Peters doing.
All your life, what does it get you? Thanks a lot, and out with the garbage. They take bows and you're batting zero. I have a dream. I dreamed it for you too. It wasn't for me, Herbie. And if it wasn't for me, then where would you be, Miss Gypsy Rosalie? Well, someone tell me, when is it my turn? Don't I get a dream for myself? Starting now, it's gonna be my turn.
And that wig held on by its like fingertips under her head when she was doing that.
I feel like it's got to be so difficult at the end of that to really hit a true E vowel on that final me. Because don't you just, I would just may that out till the cows came home.
And Jennifer nobody Holland does. Style. Bernadette was like the only one to do for me. Like everyone else always did for May. Except for, or Ethel Merman, who could just do anything. Another Forbidden Broadway shout out. If you haven't heard Jennifer Samard do Bernadette, in Forbidden Broadway, Rose's turn, it's amazing. She's like, "Hose eucalyptus, like, should I've kept my croon and played Baby June?" Like, it's a magical Forbidden Broadway performance.
I'm such a Forbidden Broadway lunatic. I love Forbidden Broadway.
And Jennifer Samard was great. Anyway, on to our next.
Okay, number seven. It's really, this list has changed entirely as we've gone. So I don't know what's going to happen. But at number seven, I'm giving it to Chicago. Ooh. And I will say, we laugh about Chicago now in 2024 because it's been running for so long and because the stunt casting is such a thing that I think we disregard what the musical itself is. And ever since the first time I saw it was way before the revival that we all enjoy now that's so signature and the blacks and the simplicity and the movie that's so sublime. But I saw it at a college. I think I was competing in like a Shakespeare competition in Cedar City, Utah. And the university that was being held at was doing Chicago.
Oh.
And so I saw it, but I'd never heard of it before. And I remember watching it being and like hearing all that jazz for the first time and seeing the way they incorporated all of this really truly vaudeville-esque material into this really sardonic and dark and satirical mess. I was like, I can't believe I've never heard of this musical before. I think this is the best one I've ever seen. I was so blown away by it. And then, you know, a couple of years later, end up in New York City and and it opens, and it blew everyone's mind. And there's a reason it's still running, well, besides the stunt casting, because as a musical, it was so ahead of its time when it came out in the 70s, which was what, 77, 78, something like that?
It was same year as Chorus Line. When was that?
1975. It was 1975. And it was Gwen Verdon and Cheetah Rivera.
Mm-hmm.
And Cheetah, who went
and
on
Jerry
to...
Jerry Orbach.
National Treasure Jerry Orbach. And it just kind of, it was too soon. It was just ahead of its time. But the snark of it all is so wonderful. And the music is, it doesn't get any candor and ebbier than that. The vamped to everything. It's just so hyper stylized. It's a brilliant musical.
Yeah.
And to see it become the most, one of the most well-known musicals to any, if you landed on an island in the Bay of Bengal, what's happening? And said, hey, have you heard of Chicago? They'd be like, yeah, we heard of that one.
Chicago. Yeah.
Chicago. Oh yeah. Red Tights. I just think it's a masterpiece. And when I've gone to see it recently, it holds up. Because the piece is so strong. But I think we don't give it the credit in 2024 that it really does deserve. So I'm giving it to Chicago. And let's listen to a little Nowadays. Why not?
Around with Ike, and that's good. Isn't it grand? Isn't it great? Isn't it swell? Isn't it fun? Isn't it? But nothing stays. In 50 years or so, it's gonna change, you know. But oh, it's heaven.
Give me a cane. Too good.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You gotta give it to Chicago, baby.
Also, what kid of a certain age didn't? I remember the Chicago Revival came out. I saw the first national tour of Chicago, blown away, and then immediately memorized the choreography to the Hot Honey Rag.
Absolutely, we could do it right now.
Oh, I could do it right now too. Like it's.
And they do the best dance move in history of dance, which is.
The hands over the knees crisscrossing thing.
Yeah.
No, it's the bit where they do the little toe touch hip thing and then they come closer together and it's the arms forward and then arms to the back.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Chicago's iconic. It's just wonderful. That's classic American musical theater.
Yeah.
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 American musical theater for Chicago. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this is why I didn't have so many friends in eighth grade. I don't know. Maybe. That's why I've got all of you.
I'm with you. I love Chicago.
I'm so excited to hear what you've got. Now.
We are weirdly like in sync with this because my next one was Cabaret.
Oh.
So it's just weird how like each one of yours is magically leading into mine. So Cabaret, Kander and Ab. I saw my introduction to Cabaret first was the film, which obviously is brilliant, but very different from the show.
Yeah.
Two completely different things. They just happen to have some of the same songs. And Joel Grey happened to be in the original of both.
Did you know this story? I just saw this. This is just like tea about Joel Grey. Apparently, Bob Fosse hated Joel Grey.
What?
Yeah.
But he cast him twice? This?
No, the producers forced him because Bob Fosse wanted to play the MC in the film, and the producers said, hell no, Joel is doing the film. And Bob said, I'm not working with him. And they like never spoke on the set of the movie. Bob wouldn't acknowledge him and cut down because he was so angry about it that the producers wouldn't let him play the role. In the film format, they cut the MC's part down to almost nothing in the final edit. And then the producers went in later and they told Joel Grey, don't worry, we've got you, and went in and put all of it back in the film before it was released.
Whoa.
And won Joel Grey a freaking Oscar on top of a Tony Award. But I just read this recently, and I don't remember where I saw this, but I was like, oh my God, how wild. Because you would think, what a love story to have them all working together. You think Liza and Joel and love
and Bob. Yeah.
Wild, right?
Wow.
Okay, go on.
I did enjoy the movie. Also, that just blows my mind. I'm like, Bob Fosse playing that role. The only thing I've seen Bob Fosse in was Damn Yankees when he did that one, Who Has the Pain? When they do the mambo. but... No, so my introduction of cabaret on stage though was the Alan Cumming revival, or the Sam Mendes revival, I guess I should say, because I didn't see Alan in it originally. I saw Raul Esparza and Molly Ringwald, and that production at Studio 54 blew my mind. I was like, this is like nothing I've ever seen before. Raul Esparza was incredible.
I bet.
He was scary. He was so scary as the MC. And then Molly Ringwald, I have to say, was fantastic as Sally Bowles.
Wow.
She was so good. This is when she was a little chubbier, which kind of worked. She's not a great singer. She's not a great dancer, but she's so endearing, Molly Ringwald. And there's something so like innocent and childlike about her that you just rooted for her as Sally Bowles. Like, it was just, I just remember walking out of that being like, that was a once in a lifetime. You know, that show was so special. And I see why that show ran for so long and why they brought it back. Because then I saw it again with Alan Cummings and Michelle Williams when they brought it back.
Oh.
And it was cool to see Alan in it. Because I was like, okay. Like, it was very different from Raul. It was much funnier. It was clownier. Like, Raul was just like dork.
Yeah.
But oh my God, the ending to that show. One of the most shocking, like, visceral endings to a theatrical experience I've ever seen.
Oh, dark.
It was, and Michelle Williams was great, just very different. But yeah, I just think that is another like brilliant show that really like pushed the envelope in a way. Like it, and so upsetting that one of the catchiest songs in it is like the Nazi propaganda song, which again is just like so sort of upsetting. But yeah, I love that show. And then I can't wait for this London revival to come over. Did you see the Olivier performance, which I think is what we need to listen to, what Amy Lennox just lose her fucking mind on stage doing cabaret.
Wild.
Yeah.
I've actually seen some clips recently that just kind of appeared on my Instagram of Emma Stone, of her doing it, and some other people.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But and the clips of Natasha Richardson, too, seems like she was just unbelievable, too. But let's do the Olivier performance, the most recent one.
Crazy.
Life is a
so scary.
Old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom. Time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. And as for me, admitting from cradle to tomb, is it that long a stay? Life is a cabaret, old chum. Only a cabaret, old chum. And I love a cabaret. This
is another song that I think that if you were exposed to that, because that song is so famous, mm-hmm. in out of context of the show and just thought it was a sweet little ditty. You're like, oh, cabaret's nice and it's a fun place to be and come on in, chummy. You wouldn't, like, in the very same way that I missed kind of the point of the songs from Gypsy. You could totally miss the tone of this piece.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
I have a dream with this show to do it like True West style, where it's like me and an actress and we flip a coin every night as to who plays MC and who plays Sally Bowles.
Oh, my God.
And you swap off. Like, you learn both tracks, because I feel like both could be played by, like, man, woman, non-binary, whatever. Like, both of those are so androgynous. But yeah, you have two actors come out, flip a coin, and then that decides who plays which role that night.
Like, they have to come out on the stage.
Yeah, and they both have green painted nails. And they're both just, like, standing in slips with makeup on, matching. They, like, flip a coin, and then they're like, this is what we're doing. And then they go right into Vilkomen.
Oh, my God. Sign me up. Who are you playing opposite?
I don't know yet. We'll do a reality show, a national search to see who does it.
Great. Perfect.
Okay. Next for you.
Okay.
We're nearing the end of this countdown.
Of this half of the countdown, where it's just really getting upsetting to me and I'm just rearranging things like crazy, but I can't in good conscience not put my number six is West Side Story is the point. West Side Story, beautiful. Which also I think aside from Gypsy is very commonly regarded as an absolutely perfect musical. I think both, I've said this in a previous countdown, I think both films have been perfect. The music is next level. The story is so moving. It rings true always and forever. It's timeless. I did West Side Story like right out of high school. And of course, because I had dark hair, I was a shark. And that's how that goes in Utah and anywhere in the Midwest. That's how that all gets delineated. But the music, and it's glorious. It's glorious.
It's
right.
The most beautiful music ever written for anything.
I don't know that you can really kind of encapsulate in words what West Side Story did for theater, but also just how beautifully constructed it is. And it's heart-wrenching and joyous and spirited in a way that a lot of things we see these days.
Yeah. And crazy, I finally just watched the movie Maestro about Bernstein, and the way he sort of is like flippant about West Side Story, because it isn't what he wanted to do. He didn't want to be a Broadway composer.
Right.
So he was just sort of like, on the town, wonderful town, West Side Story, whatever. Like, that's not, he's like, ugh. But it's not what he wanted to do. And it's just interesting that then he wrote one of the greatest musicals of all time.
Yeah. Hands down. I'm not even going to pontificate on it. You know it. I know it. Everyone listening knows it. West Side Story, which once again shows you just how hard this list is to make. So West Side Story, in the spirit of Miss Cheetah Rivera, let's listen to Cheetah do some America here.
I like to be in America. Okay, by me in America. Everything free in America. For a small fee in America.
I like the city of San Juan. I know a boat you can get on. Hundreds of flowers in full bloom.
Hundreds of people in each room.
Automobile in America. Chromium steel in America. Wires for free in America. Very big deal in America.
There it is.
I mean...
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1
twice, and both times on my really long running days, if I was tired and really like wanted to give up, I would put on America, because that beat is such a good, that da 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 da, and it just gets you. It has such momentum, you can't help but pick it up, like pick up the pace on that.
Pick up the pace,
so good.
Put a little fire in your feet. Dance in the gym would do the same thing. Bada 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 bada.
But you could tell it was written by somebody who wanted to write classical music. It has such, it's so complex. Anyway,
West Side Story. All right, Bring it home, Juddy.
Before I reveal my sixth choice, just a quick reminder, everybody, to rate and review us, please. Please let us know if you agree or disagree with our choices thus far. Your opinions, please let us know. And, of course, leave us all the stars, because that's nice.
That is nice. Leave us the stars. Join us on Patreon. We have a lot of fun planned for our Patreon family. It's super cheap. You want to be part of that. And make sure you follow us on social media so you don't miss a heartbeat.
Yes. So I have to say, we've been, I think, sticking to the, you know, the Fiddlers, the Gypsies, the Man of La Mancha.
Do you know what, though, is interesting? Is that's not how my list was when we began. And it's how it's sort of slotted out as I've come to terms more with what really resonates with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's ones that have been around long enough that I think we've been able to compare them to so many other shows and be like, no, this is brilliant. Or like, yeah, we've seen enough revivals where you're like, no matter who's directing this, who's starring in it, this is still a brilliant piece of theater. But my next one is not, it's just had its first revival, kind of, but it's The Light in the Piazza,
aha,
which is not as old as some of these other ones.
No.
But, and by revival, I mean just at Encores. But this is another show that I walked out being like, that was one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen on a stage. When I saw it at Lincoln Center with the original cast, Victoria Clark's performance was one of the best performances I have ever seen and probably ever will see. And I'm so glad that at least her performance was captured on PBS. But her doing Fable was, I feel like, is like a Rose's Turn.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like for the opera, for the classically trained soprano. And that score, again, is so complex, and it sort of like rides that line between operetta and musical, which I'm a big opera nerd. So I loved that the orchestra, everything about that show, and the set, the costumes, the lighting, the direction, everything about that show to me was just beautiful.
Never saw it.
Really?
He says with shame in his voice.
No, I mean, it's...
Shame. Shame.
There it is.
Thank you. The star of Ted Lasso. It was just one of those shows. Everything about it was like soft lighting. The costumes are some of the most beautiful costumes you will ever see. And that's a soundtrack that I listen to all the time, because like Kelly O'Hara and Victoria Clark singing Statues and Stories, if you like anything even classically inclined, like it's like delicious food. Everything about that show was just rich. It was like having a beautiful dessert. But anyway, that's why that's my number six. That was just, it was just a beautiful, beautiful night of theater.
A musical tiramisu.
It was. shall we do a little bit of Statues and Stories?
I would like that very much.
And you don't hear musicals
gorgeous
like that anymore. Like, they don't write musicals.
Glorious.
You know, it's just like, ah, ha, ha. Oh, my God. Anyway.
That music is hard.
You have no, oh, my God.
That music is hard, people.
Adam Gettle.
How do you count Gettle?
Oh, my God. But, yeah, anyway. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was scrumptious. All right, friends. That's 10 through 6. It's going to get real hairy when we go 5 down to 1. I sacrifices will have to be made. It's going to be something. It's going to be something. So buckle your safety belt. Make sure you stay tuned for our episode coming out next week where we will get into that top 5. But for now, get out there and see a show.
Yes. Any show. You're in, you know, the middle of Nebraska. There's got to be a show somewhere.
Make a show.
Even better.
Do a show. Yeah. On the fireplace, hearths are wonderful places for shows. That's where we all begin.
Mm-hmm. Just not too close to the flame. Be careful. Safety first.
Safety first, kids. But fan the flames of your passion for theater. Okay.
That was great.
Bye.
Bye.